in anticipation to preach, I sat there and I wish there were three or more verses to that song. Thank you, boys. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look with me beginning in verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Look not every man on his own things. We're to be concerned with the needs of others, the needs of our brethren. Wouldn't it be something if we were taken up with our brethren's comfort as much as we were with our own? Let's not be taken up with our own way, but rather seek the glory of Christ. To seek the good and peace of his church, of his people. That's what Paul's calling for here in these first few verses. Verse 5, let this mind, let this humility be in you. This attitude be in you that was also in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my desire this morning that we be taught of God, that we be taught from His Word. Isn't that our desire? Shouldn't that be our desire every time we gather here in this place? Huh? What does God's Word say? Not my opinion, not my personal thoughts on an issue, but what does God's Word say? Whether it's our pastor standing here, Brother Jonathan, whoever stands in this place to preach God's Word, what does His Word, what does it say? Well, let's read on here. Verse 6. It says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal. Equal with God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't just have a few things in common with God. This is my first point here. Jesus Christ is God. That's what Scripture declares. You know, if I would have stood up here this morning and I would have introduced myself and said, hi, I'm Frank Tate, you would have known immediately that was not true. Huh? I would have been impersonating someone. What if Brady or Isaac, what if they would have stood up here? One of them would have stood up here and said, hi, I'm Eric Floyd. Now we've got some things in common, right? We share a lot of characteristics, good and bad. But you would have known immediately that's not Eric, that's Isaac, or that's Brady. Even though we have many things in common, we're different. Listen to the Scripture. It declares this, that Jesus Christ is God. He is God. John 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is eternal. God is eternal. And Jesus Christ is God. He's one with God. He's one with the Spirit. There's three that bear witness in heaven. Three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what does the Scripture say? These three are one. They're one. I can't explain that. I can't explain how three distinct people can be one. But we can declare it because that's what God's Word says. All things were made by Him. He's the light and life of men. Jesus Christ is God. In John chapter 10, verse 30, our Lord said this. He said, I and my Father are one. They're one in the same. They're one in purpose. They're one in will. One in nature. One in essence. One in power. One in perfection. One. They're one. I and my Father are one. What happened when he said that? How was that received by men? Do you remember that? Turn to John. Hold your place in Philippians, but turn to John chapter 10. What's your response to that statement? Jesus Christ is God. John chapter 10, verse 31. Now look at verse 30. He said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews, when they heard this, they rejoiced greatly. That's not what they did, was it? No. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Our Lord replied in verse 32. He said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those do you stone me? Good works weren't the thing they were upset about. They loved the loaves and the fishes. Nobody was troubled by that. And they liked the healing as well, as long as it wasn't done on the Sabbath day and they could find fault with it. What was the problem then? Look at verse 33. They said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Blasphemy? What? Because thou, being a man, makest thyself to be God. Do you still have John chapter 10? Look at verse 26. As God, you have that John 10, verse 26. He's sovereign. Men want a Savior they can do what they want to do with. They want a Savior or a God that they can make to be whatever they want. But as God, He is absolutely sovereign. And listen, we're in His hands. He can do with us what He will. What'd he say here? He told those self-righteous Jews, he said, you believe not because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me, he is greater than all. no man. How secure are we in Christ? No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And that's when he said that. I and my Father are one. They accused him of blasphemy. They said, you're a man, which was true. He was a man. But he's also God. You're a man that makest thyself to be God. Back in Philippians 2, verse 6, it says this. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, if I steal something, I'm taking something that's not mine. And I'm saying it's my own now. Lord Jesus Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why is that? Because he was. Because he is God. He is God. He was born of a woman. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet very God of very God. Jesus Christ. Let that be settled. Jesus Christ is God. Let's read on. Back to Philippians 2, verse 7. What did he do? It says he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He made himself of no reputation. He was made in the likeness of men. How's that possible? How can God become a man? Because he was pleased to do so. That's what Scripture says here. He made himself of no reputation. Made in the likeness of men. He was made something that he wasn't. He was made something that you would think he could never be. But in return, his people are made something that they could never be. How can I be made righteous? How can a sinner be made righteousness? John 1:14 says this, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What a glorious truth. God was made a man. He never ceased to be God. Yet he was made a man. He became a man. He took upon himself human nature. He was made a man. How is it that he's able to identify with his people? He was made a man. He was subject to our same infirmities. We have troubles and we think, boy, nobody suffers like me, right? Nobody's troubled like I am. Consider our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He hungered. He knew what it was like to thirst. He knew weariness. He grew tired. Remember that when he fell asleep there on that ship? He knew what it was like to be tired, to be weary. He knew pain. And has anyone suffered? And I don't make light any of our suffering in any way. God's people suffer. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered unto death. He suffered. What suffering it had to be just to be made a man. For God to be made. But to suffer sin, to suffer judgment, to suffer death on the cross, He knew grief. He knew sorrow. How do we know that? That's what he was, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He even suffered unto death. A death that he did not deserve. A punishment he did not deserve. Scripture says this, he was obedient unto death. You know, from the cradle to the grave, he was obedient. I can't remember who it was talking about our Lord and said, can you imagine having the Lord Jesus Christ as your son? He was obedient. When his mom told him to clean his room or straighten up, imagine, he just did that. Right? He was obedient. He was obedient on this earth. He was obedient to the law. He was obedient unto death, from the cradle in Bethlehem to the cross at Calvary. Obedient to men, obedient to his parents, obedient to the law, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was made, hear that, he was made a man. He was made flesh. What else was he made? Scripture says he was made sin. Made to be sin. Again, he was made to be something he could not be. He was made sin. Some men, I don't know how, some men take issue with that. That's what God, how can you take issue with something that God's Word says? Huh? He was made sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I know probably everybody in this room could quote it, but turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, who is that? God, hath made him, who? The Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Who's that us? That's his people. That's his elect. That's his sheep. That's who the book of Corinthians was written to. If you go back there in 2 Corinthians 1:1, who's it written to? That's a good point to know, right? Who's it? Is this written to everybody in the world? What's it say in 2 Corinthians 1:1? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the churches of God at Corinth. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his church. He's talking to his sheep. God hath made him to be sin for us. Who? His church. Christ, who knew no sin. He's sinless. He's the spotless Lamb of God. Why? Why did he do it? That we might be made the very righteousness of God in him, in Christ. He made him to be something he could never be. That we might be made something that we could never be. Right? Made the very righteousness of God, here's the key to it, in him. In him. Again, I can't explain that. I can't explain how Christ was made sin. I can't, I can't explain how I could be made righteous. But it's what God's Word says. We can't explain it, but we declare it. Thus saith the Scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. Christ had no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He was perfect before the law of God. Yet our sins, all our sins, were laid on Him. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. And when that happened, God slew Him. God slew His Son. What are the wages of sin? Death. The wages of sin are death. He died as our substitute. Quickly, let's review here. He was made flesh. He was made a man. He was made sin. Scripture declares that. He was made to be sin. And listen, He was made a curse. The Lord Jesus Christ was made a curse. Galatians 3, verse 13. I'll just read it to you. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He was made a curse. He, in our room instead, for our sins. Why? Why did He do it? What's it say here? To redeem us. To redeem His bride. To redeem His church. And then listen, He was made a sacrifice for sin. Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. He was made a curse to redeem us. He was made a sacrifice. He suffered and died that we might go free. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful He was made something that He could never be? And listen, this work, from start to finish, it's all His. It's all His. Back to our text. Philippians 2. Jesus Christ is God. He was made a man. Third, He was obedient. Obedient unto death. Read along here in verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Scripture says he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said this. He said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How Christ died? Well, how did he die? How did he die? Well, he died according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Turn to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him, verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You know, on that day, what men did, what it's what they desire, it's what their wicked hearts desired to do. It's what they wanted to do. When that soldier, when he took that spear and he pierced it in our Lord's side, he did what he wanted to do. He did what he desired to do. When those folks shouted out with a loud voice, crucify him. When they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. It was their wicked hearts that said those things. It was their wicked desires that did that. But in doing that, they did what God determined would be done. He's the Lamb slain. That didn't just crop up on that particular day. He was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. How did he die? He died as our substitute. If I'm going to be saved, if my sin is going to be put away, I need a substitute. I need one to stand in my place. We read that earlier in Isaiah 53. It says, he was wounded. Why? For our transgressions. Huh? He was bruised. Why? For our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And, oh, what a glorious thought. By his stripes, by his suffering, by his death, we are healed. Our Lord said this. He said, I lay down my life. For what purpose? For the sheep. How did he die? He died as a complete Savior. He didn't leave one thing undone. Not one. On the cross, he cried out this. He said, it is finished. You know when something is finished. I've finished a lot of projects only to find out maybe I'd forgot a few things. Huh? When our Lord says something's finished, guess what? It is finished. There is nothing, not one thing left to do. Hebrews 1. Verse 3. Turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 1, verse Here we see once again the Lord Jesus Christ is God. It says, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he, who's it talking about there? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he had by himself. Who helped him? There was none to help, was it? He tread the winepress of God's wrath alone. When he had by himself purged our sins. We read that in the old, purge me with hyssop. Purge me and I shall be clean. He cleansed us. He purified us. What did he do? He purged us. That's what we just read there. What did you do? Nothing. Nothing. When he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down. Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, I was thinking about this. When we sit down, it's because we're tired. Right? It's not an indication that anything is finished. We got a bank at home. We start weed eating and get about halfway up the hill and we sit down. It's far from being finished. That's how we operate. But when he sat down, the work was complete. Nothing, not one thing left to do. And listen, back to our text on this how Christ died. He died a successful Savior. Was he successful? Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This world, false religion speaks of a defeated man. Not a defeated man, but a defeated Savior. That's how the Lord is spoken of. Huh? One who wants to, but can't. One who is he's poor, he's pitiful. He can do nothing without man's help. One who is completely dependent on man. Is that a Savior? God's Word declares this. He's a sovereign Lord. He's one whose name is above every name. He's conquered man. He's conquered sin. He's conquered the wrath of God. He withstood the wrath of God. He's victorious over death and the grave. He's a great Savior. A great sinner, I believe that, I'm certain that's what I am. A great sinner needs a great Savior. Should we exalt Him? Should we praise Him? Certainly. God, Scripture says that God hath highly exalted him. And that means this, to raise to the highest. If something's exalted, it's to be raised to the highest possible position. He's exalted in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is exalted in heaven. Like that, remember that serpent? That serpent that God said, raise it up, put it on a pole, raise it up. What happened? people looked and they lived. What happened at Calvary? What happened with our Lord? Oh, he was crucified, but he was raised up, wasn't he? Raised up. And in glory, lifted up. Listen, we'll praise him forever and ever for what he has done. That name which is above every name. What is his? We looked at that this morning. What is his name? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Pay attention to those words. He shall save his people from their sin. I don't see anything about him trying to save. I don't see anything about, read anything that says he attempted to save. I don't see anything that says he helped to save. I don't see anything that says do what you can and leave the rest up to him. I hear men say that all the time. I don't read it anywhere in God's Word. This is what I read. He shall save his people from their sin. Well, in closing, let's go back to verse 1 of our text. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any sincerity and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Direct your mind to this. What's written here? Huh? Cherish this thought. Be wise in this. Jesus Christ is God. He became a man. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Fourth, God hath highly exalted him. Not man. We need to find our place in the dust, don't we? God hath highly exalted him. I ask you, who gets the glory in that? Man sinful. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be exalted. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this opportunity to gather together as a people. Lord, we pray that you would bless us, that you'd bless us through your word, that you would comfort us through your word. Lord, cause us not to look to ourselves, but cause us to look to Christ. Cause us to look to Christ, our Savior, and rest in him. Knowing, Lord, that thou doest all things well. Thou art sovereign and thou doest all things well. Cause us to rest in thee. Cause us to work in the complete, finished work of Christ our Savior. It's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen.